理课堂听 class.com。
Began the discussion of military revolution and future warfare just after the Gulf War in 1991. Currently, the U.S. is planning another military attack on Iraq because of the weapons inspections crisis. In the context of military revolution, what are some of the changes in strategy and operational methods or tactics the U.S. plans to use in the coming attack on Iraq?
I'm not sure there's much that I can add that's not in the article. If I would, it would probably be classified, and I couldn't share it. I think the biggest changes are going to be in the kinds of weapons that we use, all precision-guided weapons, and I also suspect that the intelligence base will be better than it was. I'm not sure that there'll be huge differences in operational technique.It will be more focused on what we called, at the time of the Gulf War, strategic targets. But I'm not sure there will be huge operational level changes. I don't know about those, and I don't want to know about those.
What is the topmost achievement or theoretical breakthrough as a result of the discussion on the RMA up to now?
I'm not sure that there's been a breakthrough.I think we are still at a very early stage, theoretically. Americans, to some extent, are not as theoretically inclined as perhaps we should be.
What are the possible implications of the RMA on military strategy and national defense policy of the U.S.?
Well, I think one possibility is obviously it could. I think it already has, and will continue to,give the U.S. tremendous military potential, and much more military potential than that of various opponents. I think one of the biggest changes that we will see, and have already seen, is that military organizations will begin to look very different from one another. They will be much more tailored to their geographic and political circumstances, and it will be much harder to assess themand to compare them.
What are the main trends in the development of the RMA?
I think there are a number of trends. One very basic one is toward the end of the mass army, that is to say, the importance of large numbers of soldiers. I think that's really gone down very substantially. I think towards the creation of network organizationsrather than hierarchical organizations, which is a profound change, to the use of long-range precision strike. Obviously, there's a weapons technology which is very much the direction which things are going, and I think in general towards moving away from large manned platforms of the traditional type. I think it'll be a long sunset, but we will,I think, see the sunset of the manned fighter bomber. I suspect tanks will probably look very different 20 years from now than they do today. And some of the large platforms, like the aircraft carriers, may not survive in the forms that we've known them. I think those are some of the big changes.
In one of your articles, you and many other experts, including those on the National Defense Panel,argue that the Pentagon's two-war strategy is not necessary. Therefore, is the U.S. wasting valuable time by applying the effects of the RMA to the strategy?
I would put it differently. I would say that by pursuing the two-war strategy, we're denying ourselves to devote adequate resources to the RMA, because the two-war strategy tends to give us rather large force structure focused on today's technology. And what is more important, I think, is a longer-term research and development efforts.
benefits might the U.S. expect to reap from a more focused attempt to nurture the RMA?
I think there are two. First, in general, the U.S. benefits from being the militarily predominant power. That's the RMA will help ensure that. But I think the other reason is more defense. The thing about the information technologies is that they're truly available to everybody, and since that is the case, I can easily imagine either states or non-states trying to compete with the U.S., not head-to-head, not aircraft carrier to aircraft carrier, but to acquire the ability to deny the U.S. the ability to operate freely in various parts of the world. And to that end, I think it's important for us to always keep quite a substantial advantage.
How do you view the essence of the RMA?
I think the essence of the RMA will be some very large changes in the way the military is organized and operates.
Could you give me some comments on the next direction of the research of the RMA?
As I said, I think the biggest issues will be experimentation. What's more important now, either in research and development or theory, we'll be trying different kinds of forces, different kinds of operational concepts. I think that's the next task, and not sitting around and thinking about it. It's going to be trying to go out in the field and seeing what one can do.
What are the main factors driving the RMA?
I think the information revolution is a very big part of it. I also think the end of the Cold War is very important. It creates a very different international environment, with the U.S. thinking about very different kinds of threats, and that makes it possible at some level to start over again. There is an important geopolitical element to it as well. I think for the U.S., for example, we're increasingly aware that all the military has to be expeditionary. During the Cold War, the Army and Air Force thought of itself as operating from Europe, and I don't think that's as nearly as much the case.